Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're so glad you're here for some fun Disney talk to kick off the weekend just a little bit early. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes time to head to a Disney destination, work with the great agents over at the Magic for Less. And speaking of Disney destinations, right now is the time to book that summer 2019 Disney cruise. The prices are as low as they're going to get. The ships are filling, but right now, great inventory. You can probably get that stateroom you're looking for, that category on the sailing that you've always been wanting to take. And of course, the folks over at the Magic for Less offer up to a 5% onboard credit that spends just like cash during your cruise. So when you want to have some fun, maybe do a tasting, maybe take a fun port adventure, even a spa treatment, those things can be included right there with your onboard credit. You can have some fun on the Magic for Less. So check them out today. Drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that free no obligation quote, and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Again, they're over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode is again brought to you by your friends over at MilkSnob.com. As seen on ABC's Shark Tank, the iconic Milk Snob cover is 5-in-1 and can be used as a cover for infant car seats, shopping carts, high chairs, infant swings, and even offers 360-degree coverage for nursing. Within their new Disney collection, they have the polka dot queen of all things magic, Minnie Mouse. This print alternates Minnie heads with all her different expressions across a white background. Head over to MilkSnob.com to see their designs and make your first magical order. Again, that's MilkSnob.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1302 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy day before St. Patty's Day. Hopefully you have a great day planned for tomorrow. Get out there and have some fun. Wear your green. Celebrate your Irish heritage. Even though I know you're probably not Irish, you're probably German or something else. Everybody's Irish tomorrow, so have a good time. But do stay safe. If you drink, have somebody else drive you because we want you to be back here on Monday. So today we're getting together to talk about a fun Disney restaurant, one of my favorites of all time. So we're glad that you're here to jump in with us. So grab a snack, though, because you're going to be hungry by the end of today's show. So joining me today, we're live here on Facebook, having a good time. Ricky is here from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and, of course, the Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
Please don't let that snack be Taco Bell. That's all I'm saying.
It's not going to be Taco Bell because that is how I power through all of my editing on Monday nights.
We are well aware of that. Everything is going good over here, though, so... It's all gravy.
Any big plans for the niblets for St. Patrick's Day and the Wactors?
Definitely not, actually. I think Brian is running the Publix Marathon on Sunday, so we'll probably be resting so that he can run a marathon on Sunday.
He cracks me up because he just like signs up for marathons like, just, whoa, nothing to do on Sunday. I'm just going to run a marathon. And that's Brian. It's like, well, I'll run 26.
He signed up for the 56-mile race, right?
Are you kidding me?
Like, yeah, no, I'm not. It's in May, and he's running it, and I think he's crazy. I mean, I love him, but that's a lot. And it's like through the hills of backwoods Georgia. I don't know. It's like he has to run in the night in the dark. He's got to wear a headlamp to see.
That's awesome.
The woods. I'm like, this sounds like a broken leg so much.
It sounds like a broken leg or something you would see on live PD. I mean, totally. Like somebody running through the woods from people with a headlamp on. That'd totally be a live PD segment.
I don't even know. I'm just, I more power to him, but I'm also very scared for him too. So
good luck, bro, on that one. All right. Yes. Have fun, Brian. Can't wait to hear that story. That'll be a good one. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, I'm glad we're the sane ones. What's going on?
I'm not going to be running at night. I'm not going to be in the woods, hopefully, at night. Good. Although my husband has had rumblings of camping, and I told him I didn't really think that was an option. I'm just saying. I'm like, I don't think people do that anymore.
No.
I think that they all stay in hotels and some places that has a bed and a bar. I mean, hello. So no, I don't know. He thinks that maybe glamping is a possibility. So I said it would have to be very glampy.
Well, I'm thinking camping has to mean a cabin at Fort Wilderness, right? I mean, that's the only thing he could be talking about.
I'm able to do that. So that's what we're doing. Hello, when we go down for our agent education program, we have a cabin. So
there you go. Nice. We're all getting outside our comfort zones, apparently.
So I mean, it's one of those new cabins at the Wilderness Lodge. That was camping.
That'd be more glamping, I would say, probably.
The one by the water, Pam? Or
the one by the water, yes.
Oh, dude, I'm so jealous. That's not camping.
I can do.
That looks awesome.
Anyway, that's not camping, but that's not what we're talking about today. We're doing one of our restaurant reviews and helping you, you know, consider places that you may or may not have been. And I think most people that have been to Walt Disney World more than a few times have probably stopped in at this restaurant over at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. And of course, today we're talking about Kona Cafe, a great table service restaurant that serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And very good meals for all three at that. And also, in my opinion, I think it's one of the better values of the table service restaurants anywhere on Walt Disney World property. Great food, lots of options. They've made some changes to the menu. That's kind of why we're going back and talking about this today. But, you know, missing some things that I really liked in the past, but they've substituted some items that I thought were pretty good. So let's jump into this and talk about breakfast. Let's start with the first meal of the day. It's the most important meal of the day, they say. So you got to have good breakfast. All right, so Ricky, when you think of breakfast at Kona, obviously everybody says what?
Oh, they say Tonga Toast.
Yes,
definitely.
And I'm allergic to bananas, so I can't have Tonga Toast. That would put me in shock. And I don't even like bananas, so it's all good. Anyway, so
maybe it's because you're allergic to them.
I'm saying. I mean, but, I just got that in the last few years. I don't know where it came from, but I'm allergic to them now. But I didn't even like them back in the day. I tried to eat them because I was a speed skater, and everybody ate them because you got energy. But, nope, couldn't do that. Anyway, so let's talk about the breakfast menu. You could talk about Tonga Toast and why you think that is so popular. But also, you know, there's meaty selections here, too. So walk us through the breakfast menu, Ricky.
So, yeah, Tonga Toast, I think, is so popular because it is a giant, giant serving of food. So it's a banana stuffed French toast.
Big as your head, this
yes,
is.
Yes, it
food
is.
Food as big as your head.
It's huge. It's a stuffed sourdough French toast rolled in cinnamon sugar and served with a strawberry compote. So, I mean, yes, it is a diabetic coma just waiting to happen, but it's delicious. However, I'm going to tell you, my favorite thing on the menu is not the Tonga Toast. It is actually the pancakes with the macadamia nut butter, the pineapple sauce. I think those are fantastic, far and away. My favorite thing ever since I went to Hawaii and had, you know, pancakes with pineapple on top. It's been number one in my book. So I'm okay with that. And whenever I can find a place that offers pineapple on top of my pancakes, I'm getting it. There's also, obviously, they have, omelets. They have the Kona Eggs Benedict, which is poached eggs with a citrus chili hollandaise sauce and char siu pork belly on toasted Hawaiian bread. Definitely an interesting choice. You also have the traditional, it is definitely a Hawaiian thing, the Loco Moco, which is a grilled hamburger patty served over a bed of rice with house-made chorizo gravy, two eggs, any style, and topped with a tomato salsa. So, and they also have a smoked salmon plate, which would totally be at Brian's Alley. We need to go back to Kona for breakfast.
So, we're getting all this information from the Mouse for Less. You can check it out there under the menus. And there's pictures, which are going to make you very, very hungry when you look at this. And I think Ricky brought up a good point that when you're at the Polynesian, and especially at one of the restaurants, I think you really need to kind of include some kind of like pineapple, because it really does kind of fit the theme of being at the Polynesian. Fresh pineapple is always so good at the restaurants, you know, either Ohana or Kona. Even down at Captain Cook's, they have some things with pineapple that are very, very good. But I will say that my favorite thing to get, my go-to, and I know this was true of so many people that I know, for breakfast over at Kona years past, was the Big Kahuna. It was basically just like everything you could want in a, you know, a hot breakfast. It was the meats, you know, the pancakes, the potatoes, stuff like that. Very, very popular. Very, very good. They took that off the menu for some reason. I don't know. Disney does crazy stuff sometimes. And like, I don't understand the logic of some of these things. That's one of the things that's at the top of my list. And there's another menu on the dinner menu that they took away too. Another item. Good. But I will tell you, the last time I went, I was so bummed because I was like, oh, I always get the big kahuna. So I was looking for something that was close. And so Ricky mentioned the thing I got, which was, it sounds really not that good. It was that Loco Moco, which was the traditional island brunch staple. It features a grilled hamburger patty over a bed of rice with house-made chorizo gravy, two eggs, and tomato salsa. So basically, it's kind of like, I don't know, like this little homey place we have here in St. Louis called Gingham's. They call it kind of the Fiesta Skillet. It's basically kind of like a Mexican skillet, everything mixed together. That thing was solid, and it's one of the cheapest things, not that I'm cheap, but it's one of the cheapest things on the menu at $12. It was solid. It was good. So don't discount the Loco Moco. I like that for breakfast now. Kind of fills my niche. Get some fresh fruit, and you're set there. So, Pam, what about the breakfast menu to you? What looks good for you, and what do you get?
So I almost always get whatever kind of Eggs Benedict thing concoction that they have. And they do have one here. It's gone through a lot of transitions over the year. But this one is served with, first of all, it's served on Hawaiian bread, you know, that's a yummy thing, right? And it has a citrus chili hollandaise sauce. And instead of traditional, like the Canadian bacon, they have pork belly. So this is, you know, not a bad version of the Eggs Benedict. But I'm usually an egg girl, so I usually get that, or I get some kind of, you know, the eggs any style, which they have too. The other thing that really looks good to me is what Ricky was mentioning, that smoked salmon plate. Love that. I feel like I can't get enough of that. And love stuff like that. But for those who don't like Tonga toast, there's also a regular French toast too, which I think would be good for, you know, a lot of people who don't really want that sweet. And I will give you a little heads up on the Tonga toast. Don't put syrup on it. It's already sweet. The strawberry compote really just gives it yes. It gives it enough of, you know, something that is not in your face sweet like that, that makes it really good. But, you know, one of the things that I like best at Kona is that they have Kona coffee and they have a French press pot of Kona coffee. And for coffee drinkers, I think this is totally worth getting. So it's so good. So, so good.
Well, see, that's kind of what I wanted you guys to address here for just a second, because I don't drink coffee. I know they have very good juice, too. I hear people rave about the juices. But the coffees, okay, so you mentioned the French press pot. I don't really even know what that means, but this coffee is it not authentic Hawaiian? I mean, it does come from the Big Island or from Hawaii, right?
I mean, yes, this is Kona coffee is from, like, it gets its name from Kona, right. That location. So, yes, it is. And Kona coffee is really world known for being, you know, for tasting a certain way. Yeah. Right. A lot of people really enjoy the taste of Kona coffee. I do. I think it's a great coffee blend that kind of fits for me. But I mean, people who really drink coffee do have certain things that they like or don't like. But mm-hmm. Kona's good. And a French press is my preferred way to drink coffee. Again, everyone has their chosen way to drink it. But that's what I make every morning. Well, I won't say I make it. This is the one thing that this is okay. Confession. Another confession. Wow. I've been doing confessions lately. Steve makes coffee in the morning. I need the cup of coffee before I can make the coffee. I'm just saying.
That's it. Well, too, and on the menu here, it looks like that you can actually take home a bag of Kona coffee while you're there. And it says you can get the Kona blend for like $15, regular decaf, and you can get the 100% Kona for $40. So I'm glad I don't drink coffee, because that'd just be another thing I'm spending money on. I can just stick with my Coke Zero. That's cheaper.
I mean, you don't have to get coffee. It's
no,
good.
I know. It sounds really good. So also don't forget about the kids, the breakfast menu. And I think these are really, I think the kids, I think when you go to deluxe resort restaurants, sometimes picky kids like mine will have a struggle to find something that's not, you know, simple that they would like. But I think Kona kind of hits home on that. They have Mickey shaped pancakes. So you can also get that with a side item like bacon or sausage or a fruit cup. You also get a milk or a water, or apple juice, something like that. You also get Minnie's French toast that's in cinnamon sugar. So basically you're getting kind of like a churro for breakfast, but it's French toast. So it's got sugar. Everybody's happy. So, and they also have the healthy meals, like the oatmeal and dried cranberries and stuff like that. So I don't know. My kid would be going for the French toast. I can tell you that. All right. So breakfast. Now let's talk about ADRs for breakfast there. Pam, what do you say about, is this some place that you need 180 days at 7 a.m. for an ADR for breakfast? Or what's your best advice for Kona as far as demand and booking breakfast there?
So I think there are very few breakfasts that book up that early. There just aren't. I mean, there's some popular character ones that could book up at your preferred time or whatnot. But my advice to anyone is that Kona may eventually book up. And I always feel like Kona in particular has a certain way of seating people that they like to stick with, that they're a little more rigid about than some of the other restaurants. I'm not trying to give them a dig, but I will just say there are some challenges sometimes with that. They're very particular about things. So even when you roll up and you think they aren't busy at all, you could have a 25-minute wait. So if you have a time that you know you want to attend, something that would work best for your touring, for your vacation, whatnot, make the reservation. But you won't have to be up at, you know, 6 a.m. to do it on that morning. You will likely be able to get that.
I will say, too, a couple of just general tips about Kona is that if you don't have a place to eat and you're looking for a place that you can kind of walk up, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, I just like to swing through the Polynesian and I'll just go to the stand and say, look, you know, I don't have an ADR, but I'm willing to wait. You know, is there any way I could get a walk up? Sometimes they're very accommodating with that. I've had them tell me, you know, sorry, we're booked solid. But more times than not, I've been able to get in there even without an ADR when I'm just kind of like, I wasn't planning on having a sit down meal, but maybe it's raining or something and I'd rather get out of the rain and try that. Never hurts to ask. It's a place where I've had good luck with that. And that other place is like, if you try that at 50s Primetime, man, you're not getting in the door. I can tell you that. I've tried that many times. I never have luck there, but Kona. Yeah. And I think too, Kona's a good, it's a good alternative. Say you really have your heart set on Ohana for like a character breakfast or maybe, you know, a big dinner that night. And you just, for some reason you can't get the ADR. I don't think if you go to, I think, you know, if you do Kona as a kind of a fallback, like you couldn't get in Ohana, so you want to go over to Kona, I don't think you'll be disappointed. Because that's kind of how I discovered Kona, was that we were looking for Ohana on a certain night, couldn't get the ADR years ago. But I looked at my guidebook that I was using way back in the day and I saw Kona there and I was like, well, I'll give that a shot. You know, it looks like it has decent food. It's still going to the Polynesian, get to experience the resort and all that. So, Ricky, do you find that to kind of be the case that, you know, try Kona if you can't get Ohana? And I don't really think you'll be disappointed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that obviously it's different. The one is, kind of, you know, obviously an all-you-can-eat meat fiesta. But, you know, so it's a little bit different. Or, you know, you got that breakfast where they actually bring it to you and stuff like that. But I absolutely think that you won't regret it if you can't get a Ohana if you try Kona. Although I hate saying that because then it takes up my ADR.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Don't do that.
I know.
But yeah, I absolutely think that it's a good second choice.
All right, so let's talk about lunch and dinner over at Kona. Very good options here. And we're going to start off with the apps. And I love the appetizers at Kona. So Pam, do you want to walk us through this menu? And I got to quit looking at the pictures right now. Got my hand up on the screen because man, I can't talk. I'm like my mouth's watering. I can't even speak. So you take over here.
I know. So the appetizers there at Kona, and I agree with you, Mike, they have some great appetizers and access to the sushi too. So awesome too. So first of all, they have Kona crab cakes with a jalapeno lime cream. Yum. They have a seasonal soup and that really varies. I've seen them offer quite a few different things with that. They have pot stickers, they have sticky wings, and I think their wings are really good. Yes. I think they have quite they have just enough sweetness to them, a little bit of spice. They're just really good. The Kona salad, which I've gotten a few times, is awesome too. It just has greens and blue cheese and fresh fruit and almonds. And it just has a citrus vinaigrette over it. So it's great too. And then the island tuna poke, which I got last time, which is actually really good. Just a nice bowl of both the ahi tuna and avocado. And it was great. I really liked it. And then you have the sushi options. And they have a decent sushi menu here. Mm-hmm. Have a nigiri sampler. They have vegetable and they also have a sashimi sampler. They have a California roll. They have a Kona sampler, which is small. And then they have a larger version of that. And for $4 difference, I would go with the larger version, just saying. They have an eel and shrimp roll. They have a hamachi tuna cilantro roll. Yum. And a seasonal sushi appetizer. So it's based on what the chef wants to choose that day.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because again, I like sushi. I'll eat it when it's presented to me. Like I've been to certain events and, you know, sushi's something there and it's just like a grab and go and you try it. Now, here's the thing. When I'm on vacation, I never get sushi. And I think this is a Midwest thing. Ricky might be in the same boat with me that, you know, I like it. But like when I get a menu for sushi at a restaurant, for example, we went for Pam's birthday last week, we went to a Japanese restaurant and they have sushi. But like the menu has like 75 different options and I'm from the Midwest. I have no idea. So I just kind of pass. Like, I don't know what to get. You know, and it kind of explains it, but I feel like I'm not ordering it right. Or I don't know, you know, I just don't know like the sushi way to do things. So for somebody that wants to kind of get out of their comfort zone and maybe doesn't have a sushi place around them, or, you know, it's not something they would do in their everyday life. First of all, is the Kona Island sushi one of the best on property? I mean, California Grill's got sushi and they're pretty famous for that, but I mean, is that one of the better places to get it? And do you have any advice for somebody that wants to just try something? I know the California roll is a pretty safe bet. That's what I go with a lot of times if I don't know what I'm doing, which I don't. But any other advice on ordering sushi?
So I think that Disney does a good job of presenting a lot of sushi that most people will like. And when you say sushi, so many people think raw fish, and that's typically not what sushi is. There's actually a lot of different kinds of sushi, but sashimi is going to be the sushi that is actual raw fish. It's going to be a piece of fish, but don't think of it as raw fish. It really is, I mean, I just can't describe this, you know, in a way that's going to be appealing to people who keep thinking about it as raw fish, but it really is just a nice presentation of food together. So there is, you know, there are lots of sushi that are cooked. It's absolutely cooked. And California rolls often have things like avocado, cucumber, and like crab meat or imitation crab meat, or there's also typically sometimes there's like a tempura roll, which will be shrimp or some kind of fish that is tempura fried and then just has, you know, the rice around it. So again, not, you know, not anything that is that hard. And I think, you know, the way that you want to start this process is by eating things you may be familiar with. So like Mike mentioned, the California roll, that's a good thing. But just try it, or try a sampler that has a little bit of both on it. So you can have something that you're more familiar with and maybe something that you're less familiar with. But don't be put off by the idea that sushi is always raw fish, because it's not.
So Ricky, do you eat sushi ever?
I don't really love the taste of sushi. Like, I don't like the, usually they'll put it in the seaweed wrapper. I said usually. Sometimes they don't. No, I can kind of deal with that. But I don't like the seaweed wrapper taste, so I don't usually get sushi. I will do, like, here in Atlanta, we have Cowfish, which it has sushi, but then they also have Burgushi, which I can do because it's burger-inspired ingredients made to look like sushi. Ooh. Which I love. I love that. It's fantastic.
It's really good.
Ooh. It's so good. They have one at Universal, Mike. So anyway, that's where I found out about it. But anyway, so I don't love sushi, but my husband loves sushi, and he goes all the time when we go out. He'll get sushi. And I mean, you know, he's as Midwest as they come, and he's, you know, he's just popping it, downing it. So, you know, it, again, what he did is he started with something that he recognized. Yep. And then as he kind of learned more about sushi, he started branching out a little bit, trying things that are different. I tried a few things, again, just not my cup of tea, but you know, yeah, we have a happy medium with Cowfish.
Yeah, and Joanne's mentioning that sashimi sampler, that there's a great picture of it. It looks so good. I would definitely go for that. So definitely a great choice. All right, so let's head into the entrees. We don't want to go too long here. So Ricky, walk us through some of these things that are on the menu now. Of course, my old teriyaki steak is no longer on the menu, which is the thing I'm missing. I love that because it had the pineapple on top. It was on a bed of white rice, which I love white rice. That's why I think I need to be on Survivor someday, because I could live on that. But irregardless, regardless, it's not there. I said irregardless. I shouldn't say that because somebody reminded me of that. I will not say that again. Sorry. So walk us through the entrees, Ricky.
Okay, so what Mike's talking about, they do have a strip loin on the menu still, the miso buttered strip loin. It has scallion mashed potatoes, misoyaki, baby eggplant, sake reduction, wild mushrooms, and scallion ash, which just sounds super fancy.
Yeah, it does. So it, yeah, like, do I really want ash on my steak? I don't know. I guess I do.
Yeah, you do.
I'm sure you do, yes. So there's also the market fresh fish, so whatever the fish of the day is, they're going to have that. They have noodle bowls, Asian noodle bowls. The one thing that I don't know why this is named this. It is the lemongrass scented airline chicken breast.
That is weird.
An airline chicken breast just means a chicken breast that still has the little wingette attached to it.
Oh,
really?
Okay. I was like, I've never heard that term.
Either have I.
You're learning something.
I am. Good stuff. I'm so excited. So see, I thought maybe like they got it off an airplane.
Yeah, I was thinking like Delta.
Breast,
so. Yeah, exactly. It's like what's left over from like American Airlines. You know, they served it in first class.
But I also want to know what lemongrass scented means too. So
I don't know,
it's
man.
Just all kinds of weird either. And then okay, so they have a burger, of course. And that has poached egg on top, pork belly, mustard greens, pickled onions, spicy mayonnaise on, of course, a very delicious pineapple brioche bun. Oof. Gotta have that.
Yes.
Now, I have had the duo of pork, which is basically served pork belly with Asian barbecue sauce and pickle slaw, and then chili rubbed pork tenderloin and seasonal vegetables and a quinoa corn cake. This was actually really delicious. I enjoyed the pork belly a little bit more than the pork tenderloin, gonna say, but I thought it was quite delicious because I too miss the steak, but you know, this is not a bad second choice.
So is that, Ricky, is that barbecue sauce that it's sitting in there, that Asian barbecue sauce, that kind of what it's sitting in? It looks really good.
Yeah, that's the Asian barbecue sauce that it's sitting in. Yeah.
It looks good.
People are, this is really riveting for me.
I know. But if you go to the Mouse for Less, you can see these pictures. They'll make you hungry.
I have a picture of the duo before I ate it. So, yes, I definitely feel like they try to infuse some Asian flavors, some Hawaiian flavors into the dishes more at Kona. Now that the menu has been revamped, I feel like they try and take those flavors a little bit more. So, you know, just keep that in mind, that with the menu change, that I feel like that's something that happened, was I feel like they went that direction a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right. So continuing on though, what the thing that I get now that I don't get my teriyaki steak, I didn't go to the new steak because it doesn't have that zip to me that I go for. So now I tried this the first time I was there, and I've gone to it ever since. And again, I'm not trying to be cheap here, but it's probably the best value on the dinner menu is the Asian noodle bowl, which is just basically a bunch of noodles with vegetables in there. You can also get it served up with shrimp. I think I get the shrimp because I love shrimp. I get that anytime I can. But that is a solid choice. And then you have the sustainable fish, shrimp salad with yuzu emulsion. Okay, so go with that. And an open-faced turkey sandwich. So, Pam, walk us through some of your favorites from the dinner menu or the lunch menu at Kona.
So, I tend to get... I love the noodle bowl, Mike, which you talked about. I think it's just really good. That burger I've had a bite of, and it's so good. I am a sucker. I don't typically order it. Steve orders it, and then I get to have a bite of it. But a burger with an egg on it is always a good thing in my book.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
Red Robin.
It's just so good. And I love... This is something that Kona has done for as long as I can remember. They are really good about getting in interesting varieties of tomatoes. And you can see on the picture there, they have the yellow tomatoes, but they've always had that in some, you know, in some of their dishes. So I love that they're doing that too. They're really good about keeping fresh ingredients, I think, on that menu. I think that they do a good job of that too. And I absolutely agree. They do have some of the, you know, some Asian inspiredness with almost every entree on there. Yeah. Almost every entree on there has a little bit of, you know, inspired by, you know, the Asian flair. So I love that. And they're doing a good job. I think that their market fresh fish is always a good choice. It depends on what fish they have, but I've had some great fish there done well too. And they always just, you know, include some kind of seasonal accompaniment there. So love that. But I, you know, when we go to Kona, I know I'm going to get a good meal. That's, you know, something that I'm always sure about.
Yeah, so. I agree. I mean, that's one of those things that it's always a safe bet. Like, I've never had a bad meal at Kona. And so, you know, you can schedule that and have, you know, just, and you're going to be full when you leave. I mean, it's whether it's breakfast or dinner, you're going to get, you know, a really good, solid meal. And I think it is one of the better values of the table service restaurants anywhere on property. I really feel like I'm getting my money's worth, you know, because, of course, Disney food prices are more expensive than, say, your Lee's Chicken at home or your, you know, Las Fuentes or whatever have you.
Lee's Chicken? Really?
Okay. I had that the other day. Yeah, I had a bit. Well, when I was sick, I got a biscuit. Pam brought it home and I just had the biscuit that day. But it was so good. I'm still thinking about a biscuit. That's sad. But so, you know, I just think it's a good place to land if you want to, you know, kind of just have it's almost like it's not comfort food. Like you'd get like at a Cracker Barrel or something, or like a, you know, Trails End or a 50s Primetime. It's not that. It's got some zing to it. It's got that authentic Asian flair to it, but I don't think it's too crazy either. You know, I think it's kind of, it's a safe bet if you want to get outside of the norm. Also, I just want to throw in the kids meals for the lunch and the dinner. You have cheeseburgers, mac and cheese, and hot dogs. The kids do get a dessert with their kids' meals. That's a good value. And I think they're about $10, $9, somewhere in there. So decent value as well there. I will say, now, back in the day, because they still have some pretty decent desserts over at Kona. But do you guys, and it's still on here, Ricky, and I'm kind of confused because it has the Kona cone. But I don't think it's the same Kona cone that Paige used to get when we were, like, no, maybe 10 years ago that had the big, remember it had cotton candy, like, yes, inside of, like, an ice cream cone? It was nuts. So that's not the same thing, right?
I don't think so, no.
I don't either.
No.
I don't think so either.
That wasn't there the last time I was there, so.
That thing was awesome. They had crazy desserts, like, 10 years ago. Like, they had the Kona cone, they had something else, too. It was like a make-your-own.
Well, they have the chocolate fondue. They still do have that. Mm-hmm.
Do they?
So that, yeah. So you get fruit and some cookies and you can dip that in your own chocolate stuff. So
in the chocolate fondue. I
still
you.
Love the Kilauea tort. Oh, it's so good.
Okay. So
it's really,
Ricky, walk us through the desserts they have there. And just kind of, just so people have an idea of what you might want to get if you have room at the end of your meal.
So the Kilauea tort, which I just mentioned, is an explosion literally of warm liquid chocolate inside a chocolate volcano. I'm not joking. It is a chocolate kind of cookie thing with warm chocolate deliciousness pouring out of it when you crack it open. So it's delicious. There's Tafiti's Island Mousse, which I'm going to guess is named from Moana. It's a passion fruit and coconut mousse dome with pineapple and seasonal sorbet. So Disney's all about those mousse domes right now. Definitely all about the mousse domes. We have the coconut pearl tapioca, I'm going to guess pudding. There's the, obviously, Pam mentioned the chocolate fondue, the mango cheesecake, which is a no-sugar added dessert, and the Kona mocha verine, which is Kona coffee cremeau with crispy chocolate pearls and milk chocolate ganache, which also sounds quite delicious. So
that
you can see I'm
good.
The chocolate girl, so yeah.
Yeah,
the
I mean,
thing sounded amazing to me.
I think that, you know, it seems for the most part that they have kind of rich desserts. You know what I'm saying? Like very chocolatey centric, which I think a lot of people like. And I mean, they have the mango cheesecake, which I'm sure that's good. And that kind of fits
and
the menu
don't
too.
Don't forget the dome.
Yeah. Oh, man. So what
don't
do you
forget yeah, the dome?
Yeah, that should be the hashtag for today's show. All right. Yeah. So, Pam, final, what are your thoughts on desserts? So you mentioned something, but what would you say to go to if you want to try something, you know, maybe have a dessert?
So I think that the good thing about Kona is, again, there are some options for everyone. They always have, first of all, a no sugar added dessert, which I like most of the time. We you know, we'll order them every now and then. And I always think, well, golly, this tastes like there's sugar in here, but I don't know. Maybe I'm sure it's some sugar substitute, but there's something there. I am not a huge sweet person. I don't love it, but the chocolate fondue would be something that I would like because being able to do that right at your table is
a
good
thing. And you can pick and choose how much chocolate fondue you put on
that's
the
right.
cake and the cookies.
Yes, so, that's yeah. right. So that's a good thing too. The Kilauea tort I've had before, and it is very good. It is just very, very chocolatey.
Yes,
very.
It is.
Did I say very? I meant yes. very, very, very. Chocolate.
Yes. For this so. Chocoholic, it is perfect. But you definitely have to be a chocolate person to really want to enjoy that. So,
but, you know, the other thing is that I think Kona has access, of course, to the bar menu that's available at so many of the Disney resorts. And they also have, if you're not really into one of those desserts, some coffee kind of concoctions with a little shot of something or other, which I think always makes a good dessert too. So,
well, real quick too, if you need to relax a little bit on vacation, you can get some beers. They have some, you know, lagers and pale ale. They have a beer flight, actually, 3 5-ounce samplers there for $8.25. Specialty cocktails. Do those come from Tambu Lounge? I think they do, right?
I think so. They might. It seems like a long way, though, for the ladies and guys to travel, maybe. Doesn't it?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But I've had those because I almost said it again. I've had the Island Sunset and the Lapu Lapu, both solid, but they knock you on your butt. So be careful.
Yeah, for sure. Whew.
Maybe they do come from over there.
But I mean, the thing is, you're eating well. I mean, that's a good thing. Is like, if you're going to have a tropical specialty cocktail at Walt Disney World, you need to make sure you have something in your belly. So Kona does a good job of, especially if you have like a noodle bowl or a steak or a big burger, something like that, along with the dessert, you know, you're going to have something in your belly. So it's like in the Polynesian, it's just kind of fun to have a frou-frou drink. You know, it fits the theme.
I agree. Yeah. You need some tropical juices and some kind of concoction that includes those. That's mandatory, I think.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up today's episode on Kona Cafe. So go get some Hawaiian bread at your local grocery store and pretend.
I have some in my fridge right now.
Exactly. I know. I need some. I'm going to go up to Schnucks, I think, and grab some, the King's Hawaiian, and make a turkey sandwich. Right. Exactly. I'm so hungry for this. And maybe get some pineapple while I'm up there, like chopped up in a little cup. You know, it's not Kona, but it'll do in a pinch, I guess, here on a Friday. So it's also not an Irish. We should have done something Irish, but, you know, we don't think ahead that way. Everybody's doing Raglan Road today. We're doing Kona.
That's
darn
right.
It. That's how we roll. All right. So, Pam, final thoughts on Kona, though. You know, I think it's a very, very good place to go. I think everybody, this is one of those that I think that it's really hard to leave here not happy with your meal. And plus, I think, too, the servers, we didn't talk about this, but the servers all tend to have been there a long time, and they know their stuff, and they're really good. They're really casual. I really enjoy the servers there. But overall, what do you think of Kona as we head out on a Friday?
I think, first of all, it's a great location. It's at the Polynesian. So if you're at the Magic Kingdom and you're looking for a sit-down meal, but you're not thinking Crystal Palace and you're not thinking Liberty Tree and you're not thinking about eating with the princesses, then I think it's a short monorail ride away. And I think that's a great thing. Plus, I think everyone loves the Polynesian. I think it's one of those resorts that has such a great following. So being able to visit there, Kona really encompasses all those warm feelings we have about the Polynesian. It's tropical, but it's homey and familiar, and it just has great choices. It's not too expensive. It's just really right in the middle, and I love that about it. I think it makes some interesting food, but it's not food that it will be too foreign to folks, that they won't be able to enjoy it and find something that they like. I really think there's something for everyone.
All right. So if you go to Kona, post those pictures on Instagram and Twitter and tag us so we can see them, because, man, that is a great place to eat. I love eating at Kona. So hopefully you enjoyed today's show and you'll try this on your next visit. Maybe you go there all the time. Just make that ADR today on your iPhone as you're listening. That'd be a good thing to do. Don't forget today's episode. It's Friday, brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Those agents have been working very, very hard for their guests over the last week and a half, as Disney Cruise Line has announced the summer 2019 sailings for the Disney Cruise Line, going great places like Alaska. There's some amazing European cruises on the Disney Magic. Of course, the Caribbean and Bahamian cruises are out there. Those ships are going everywhere, and right now is the time to book your stateroom, because availability is high. You can get in that category, even that typical, you know, maybe you have a favorite stateroom like I do, 9674. I'm just saying I like that stateroom on the Dream and the Fantasy. So if you got a particular stateroom that you like, you can probably get that now. If not, you can get maybe the adjacent one or something very close. And right now the prices are probably the lowest they're going to be, because as the ships fill, it's kind of supply and demand. You know what? The supply goes down when the ship gets full and the prices go up. So right now is a great time to put down a deposit on a stateroom, and you're not locked into that. It's 100% refundable until final payment. So you lock in that price and that availability, that stateroom. You're good to go. You get your sailing, and then you kind of worry about things later on and you know, scheduling things and all that. But drop by the Magic for Less. The best thing about booking with the Magic for Less when it comes to Disney cruises, first of all, your agents are professional, passionate. Disney travel agents. They know their stuff. You know, for example, I love working with Disney Cruise Line. I'm Platinum. I've sailed all the ships. I've been to a lot of the places, so it's kind of great to have that conversation about what might work best for your family. But also, let's be practical. You get a 5% onboard credit, up to 5%. So you have money right there waiting in your account to have fun with when you arrive on board, whether it's a port adventure, a spa treatment, maybe a tasting, whatever it is. It's more fun to do those things when they're kind of on the house. So just drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free, no obligation quote. An agent will get back to you right away. And you can start seeing if that Disney cruise for the upcoming 2019 travel season will work out for you. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Don't forget that we're also brought to you by Milk Snob today. So swing by milksnob.com. This week, they're having designs inspired by Minnie Mouse. So don't forget, that's a 5-in-1 cover that can be used for infant car seats, shopping carts, high chairs, infant swings, and even offers 360-degree coverage for nursing. This is a great product. You know, if you're looking for somebody that's going to become a new mom, or, you know, just somebody maybe, I'm thinking like a shower gift, this is something that's kind of outside the box, that's very practical as well, that person will use daily. And they'll also, if they're a Disney fan, like who isn't, you know, we're all Disney fans here, you get to kind of show off, like Disney used to say, their Disney side. So when, you know, it's a great conversation starter. So when you have this, you know, using this, this cover here, you have, you know, Minnie Mouse on it, for example, this week. People are going to say, oh, so, you know, you like Disney? Oh, do you ever go to Walt Disney? Well, there you go. And you got the conversation started and you're talking for 45 minutes. The baby's probably crying because they just want to eat, you know, or they just want to have a diaper change. But you know what? You're talking about Walt Disney World and riding Astro Orbiter and going to Kona Cafe. Everybody wins, except for the baby. You'll feed the baby eventually. So anyway, check them out today. Just drop by milksnob.com. You can see all the designs. Of course, we talked about Mickey last week. It's still available. You got Minnie Mouse. This is the time to get your Disney-inspired cover. Check them out today. They're featured on Shark Tank. Pretty cool stuff. They're over at milksnob.com. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike. And of course, drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, till we get back together on Monday, have a great St. Patrick's Day tomorrow and enjoy yourself, but do stay safe. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you an awesome weekend. Stay safe, whatever you do, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.